Revelation 24. I'm sure along a certain line with us. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reception. Thank you for the entrance of your word that we receive. Lord, your word will produce results in our lives and in our work and in our ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will hear as we hear your word, we hear as we also hear, and we receive as we also receive. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to take it from where I've been taking us through for the past 2 years on Workers' Convention. Workers together with the Lord, partnering with the Lord, right? Building with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how we've had it for the past 3 years. Right? So I titled today, The Call of Ministry. The Call to Ministry. Amen. Just for, I continue tomorrow, but just for tonight, the call to ministry. Understanding that call to ministry. Many times, some people don't understand what that call is. It's a taking off from where we stopped. Amen. All these years. So many times, many people don't understand what the call to ministry is all about. Many people don't know. So, some people think call to ministry is something else.
Has the Lord called you? You say,
God has not called me.
I'm just a believer.
What is the call to ministry?
Hallelujah.
God has not called me to ministry,
Yeah.
So they say, if God called me, maybe it's a missed call. Have you heard people say that? Maybe it's a missed call. Maybe I missed the call. Someone say, no, God didn't call me, I called God. Kind of rubbish is that.
Hallelujah.
But we need to understand what is the call to ministry.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, what we'll do is to go back to some of those things I've said and put proper perspective to some things. Hallelujah. I'll call it re-cementing some areas in what I've taught you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, let's start like this. We asked the question last time, what is God doing in the earth?
Well, after I said that question,
deal with the Lord. What is God doing in the earth today? Because we need to know, what is God doing in the earth today? Everybody, what is God doing in the earth today?
He said, I don't know.
Someone once said, somebody told me recently, during the time of
the Ukraine and Russia war,
he said, it's God that made it happen. What is God doing? So God is making wars happen. Come on. How can you say that? Say God is making wars, nations to fight nations. A Bible student should be able to answer, what is God doing in the earth today? You should know what God is doing in the earth today.
Hallelujah.
Yes, there are specifics, right? Right? But you should know, in those specifics, the specifics will flow from what the main thing. Hallelujah. So, what is God doing in the earth today?
Then you can ask, what is God doing in my street
now? What is God saying for my local church now? Hallelujah. It will flow from what is God doing in the earth. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What God is doing in the earth is doing it through your local church. So, what is the big picture? What is God doing in the earth? That will be what God is doing in your local church. Doing through your pastor. Doing through the workers. And doing through your disciples. Hallelujah. What is God doing in the earth today?
What's God doing?
One is making me pass exams. No. Is building money in my account. No. What is God doing? Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. What is God doing in the earth today? Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I told us that this is not the creation of matter. Moses was not writing matter. I said that to us in church yesterday, right? Moses wasn't writing about the creation of matter. Neither was Moses writing some science fiction. No. There was no science at this point. So, what was Moses writing about? We said Moses is writing about God's oracle.
Hallelujah. He's writing about God's oracle from a known history of the Jews.
A known history. So he's writing God's oracle and answering questions in their world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is God doing?
He says he created the heavens. In the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. He's talking about a new creation. He used the word
reshit there. God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah.
And I told us when he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
I told us how the Hebrew put it. The Hebrew put it as Reshit Elohim Bara Shamayi Et Eret.
Reshit Elohim Bara Shamayi Et Eret.
It means in the beginning, what God did in the beginning is that he created the heavens in the earth.
Heavens in the earth. God created the heavens in the earth. That's why that word is
Reshit Elohim. Right? In the beginning, God created Reshit Elohim Bara Shamayi Et Eret. Heavens at the Et Eret. Et there is in the earth. It's not a conjunction. Is a preposition, the heavens in the earth. So we said in that sentence we find God's order. Right? We use the word heaven there, Shamayim. That word Shamayim is not used for a distance. I told you in our teaching on the school of the spirit. I told you, heaven is not a distance away from the earth. Okay, hear me. Heaven is not a distance away from the earth. He said the heavens and the earth. He now says in verse 2, he now says the earth without the heaven. He said the earth without the heaven is empty and void. He said, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Meaning the earth without the heaven is disorder. Where you find the word tohu bohu. Tohu bohu, disorder. Disorder, confusion. Anarchy. Did you see that? So the heavens without the earth, it's confusion. Out of order. Out of order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. For what God wants is the heavens in the earth. How what God is doing? To make the heavens in the earth. Heavens in the earth. So when you get to verses 3. Verses 3 now say, let there be light, and there was light. Right? He separated the light from the darkness. Say, the light he called day, the darkness he called light. Right? In verses 4, he saw the light was good, and divided the light from the darkness. In verse 5, he now says, in verse 5, he called the light day and the darkness night. Right? Verse 6, he now said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. Now, when you use that word firmament there, in the midst of the water, dividing water from the water, use the word firmament. Firmament. And the firmament there is going to have no Shamayim. Right? The firmament is the skies. That's what it means, the skies. So where is the skies? Is it outside the earth? Is it another planet? No, it's within the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. He says in verse 9, he said, let the waters under the heaven be scattered together into one place, and the land appear. So it was. And the dry land, earth. This is that. So earth is used for land. The dry land, earth. Where? Within. This is that. Right? The heavens, water under the heavens, under the sky, one side, the land appear. Within earth. This is that. Amen. Earth is also used for land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. Look at verses 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. After all, let us have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. Fowl of the air, that's what fowl of the Shamayim. That is the heavens. Fowls of the heavens. So, it's referring to the sky.
Then that. Amen. So the heaven is used for the immaterial. Right?
the sky, the air. Glory to God. Okay, follow me, the air. So use for the immaterial world. It's used for where God speaks from. I've shown you that. Hallelujah. Use of where God speaks from within the earth. In Genesis 28, this is Jacob's encounter. Genesis 28, verse 17. I'll talk about verse 16. It says, and behold, okay, so let's go back to verses 12. It says, and a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. Watch, due to the heaven. And let's see, is there a distance? It's not a distance. And behold, the angel of God ascended and descended upon it. And the Lord, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. You see that? To thee will I give it. No, I taught you yesterday that that is possessing, taking back land. We'll see that in this teaching. Amen. Take back lands. Hallelujah. So what is there? Where did the Lord stand above? The ladder, where? In the heavens. Is that so? The heavens is used for where God dwells. You see that? Mark those things down. It will come very important in our teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, but it's not in heaven and earth. So heaven is used for God's dwelling place. Where God stays, used for God. The earth is used for man. So it says heavens and the earth, it means it's referring to heaven and earth in the same place. We said that. Heaven and earth in the same place. God and man in the same place. God and man in the same place. Dwelling place. God and man in the same place. Now, remember I told you, heaven is not a distance away, but it can be distinguished. Hallelujah. It's not a distance away outside the earth. Not a distance, it's in the same place, but it can be distinguished. Hallelujah. So we said, what God wanted, what God is talking about, heaven and the earth, is to show you God's dwelling place. God's plan for the earth is to make the whole earth his dwelling place. The whole earth is family, dwelling place. Hallelujah. His dwelling place. God is building his dwelling place in the whole earth. In the whole earth. So the earth there refers to land, right? I mean, refers, yeah, we'll get to land soon, refers to men in all the earth. And how will he do it? He will take back land. Hallelujah. So it's referring to men. God is building his family. God is building his family. We said that last day, building with the Lord. What is God building? God is building his family. His family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's get back a few things we've been saying in recent days. We said, well, yeah, heaven, remember I said heaven used for the supernatural, used for God, but also used for the supernatural, right? The supernatural. Hallelujah. And yes, for man. So what God wants is the whole earth to be his dwelling place with man. God wants the whole earth to be his dwelling place with man. His dwelling place. Look at Numbers 14. Numbers 14:21. It says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. It is in some part. All the earth. When you use the word glory there, is the word doxa. Amen. Amen. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. Doxa in the Greek, kabod in the Hebrew. Oh, but they mix it up. Yeah, I'm correct. Kabod. Kabod in the Hebrew. Glory. Glory is just what one does. So what he says, that what will fill the earth, what he does. You see that? So what God does will fill the earth. His glory. Hallelujah. It's just what one does. It's just what the expression of what one does. It's just one's presence. It's just one's property. So God is saying what he does will fill the earth. It's what he has done will fill the earth. Hallelujah. His presence, His power, His glory will fill the earth.
Hallelujah. So what is God doing? Where is God's, put it like this, where is God's building plan? Where is God's building plan? Where is God's building plan? The whole earth. The whole earth means everyone. Paul will say we have all men. The whole earth. Everyone.
Hallelujah.
The whole earth. So that means God's plan is man. God's plan is man. He's dwelling with man. God's plan is man. And then he says it in Genesis 1:26. Let's make man in our image. Hallelujah. So that means God created man to be his representation in the earth.
God created man, the universal man, to be his representation in the earth. To represent him in the earth.
Hallelujah. So how did God form man? In his image. Do you see that? He made man in his image. In his image.
Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that.
He made man in his image. Hallelujah. So put verses 26. This is our man. So he now tells you what God's plan for the man is. It's the functionality of that man. Let him have dominion. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So God made man to be his representation. Temple language. God wants man as his representation in the earth. Hallelujah. So he made man that way.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And here's what he said. He said he made them male and female, verse 27. When he says in his image, let's make by now image. Image alone itself is a temple language. Just have that somewhere. Image is a temple language. So you have it somewhere.
Because we're coming there. Image is a temple language.
Hallelujah. A temple language. So what would you find in God's temple? In verse 27, he said he made them male and female, created in them. Genesis 1 says, made them male and female.
Hallelujah.
So that means there are no exceptions in God's temple. What we are saying that? There are no exceptions. There's not like men ministry. I was talking to someone, they know your own ministry is unique, our own ministry is unique, our own ministry is women ministry. There's some guys now want to have businessmen fellowship. Men ministry, women ministry.
No.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man in his image. So we now find in Genesis 2, God shows Adam a vision. And what does Adam see in the vision? He sees reeds. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He saw reeds. Now reeds, there is not your physical reeds, I told you.
Hallelujah. Genesis 2. Let's look at Genesis 2 quickly.
Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh instead thereof. Now, this is not, God didn't perform surgery on Adam. This is not surgery. Amen. Amen. Ribs. Moses didn't even know what ribs is. So remember I told you, words in scripture are not English as you think. Amen. They are not English as you think. So what is used as ribs here, if you run a search through the 39 book, through the Hebrew books, you discover that that is the word used for the side of a temple. You see that? The size of a temple. So what is God showing Adam?
That the woman is included in God's plan.
Read that. Hallelujah. Male and female. The two sides of the temple will find male and female. So, what is God's plan? God's plan is his temple. Heaven and earth is temple language. It's his temple. And his temple will include all men.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All men. His temple. All men. Hallelujah. His temple shows dominion.
We're going to get there in the coming weeks in church.
Hallelujah.
His temple shows dominion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shows the supremacy.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So God wants the earth as his dwelling place.
He wants the earth as his dwelling place. He wants men in his temple. Is that?
He wants men in his temple. He's building his temple. Now stop. How is it building? If you ask men in his temple, good. How is he building the temple? Is it man? Right?
He wants a gathering. He wants men. Hallelujah. So his temple points to man.
Men. Man.
Hallelujah.
So how does man become God's temple? Very simple. We'll see this over and again. How does a man come into union with God?
How does a man come into union? He said when he gets saved. I've shown you that. When he gets saved. When he believes. Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve were to eat the tree.
Eat the tree. Now, before you think it was going to be available, we are all workers. So, there are some tenses I will use that you ought to know. I don't need to be explaining too much, right? Yeah, eat the tree is not eating a physical tree. Eat the tree is to believe.
I've shown you that. Hallelujah. To believe. To believe. So, Adam and Eve, where do eat?
Deuteronomy quickly. Let me show you that again tonight.
Don't know part of my note, but I think sometimes I'll show you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Verse 15. After he said, look at from verses 12, how, or 11, how Paul would teach it in Romans 10:10. He said, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Right? He said, it's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven to bring it unto us, that we may hear. Now when he said, who shall go up to heaven? Moses was not writing Jesus. I've taught you this again and again. Right? I said, Moses was not consciously writing about Jesus. Moses, do not confer on Moses omnipotence. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. Hallelujah. So here he was writing about Jesus. Now remember, this is Deuteronomy. Look up now. This is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second... I'm leaving my notes, but I'll get back to my notes.
Deuteronomy means second law. Deuteronomos, right? Renewed law. Now listen. Listen. Because if you read this side by side with... Look at this with Romans. So when you read it with Romans, you to look and see, oh! Paul is interpreting Moses. No, Paul is applying Moses. Now I told you that. Right? It's not a direct interpretation, but what? An application. Because he has interpreted rightly, so he's applying it well. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this. Romans 10, 9. Yes.
Verses 6. He said, for the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, which I ascend into heaven. Now, he's reading Moses. Then look at what he puts in brackets. That is to bring Jesus down. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Yes.
That is an interpretation. He's applying Moses now, right? And this, so how is he applying Moses? He has seen what Moses has said, right? And he has seen the event of the four gospels and he's putting it together. You see that? Amen. You know, Jesus has arisen. Right? Not thinking, oh, we'll go again and bring him down.
I'm going to explain that shortly.
Amen. You know what? Where am I? Verse 9. It says, okay, or who shall descend into the deep? Now this is what Moses said to you. That is to bring Christ from the dead. But what said it?
the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He brings in our the word of faith. Word of faith from where? Word of faith from where? Where is he reading from? From Moses. So word of faith from Moses. Amen. So if we get back to Deuteronomy 30, let's get back to Deuteronomy 30. I'll show you something. Let's read this part. Look at verses 7. Verse 6 says, the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, that thou mayest live. Do you see that? He now says, this command which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee. Verse 11. Right? Neither is it afar off. It's not in heaven. That thou should say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shalt say, who shall go by the sea for us? And to bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Now, Paul puts the word of faith to preach. He said that thou mayest do what? Faith.
You see that? Amen. Remember, you have said circumcise. The Lord will circumcise your heart.
And before now, if you go to the next verse, that I said before thee, we are getting there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But let's get back to this. He always says it's not in heaven. Heaven in their world, he has said, is used for the supernatural. Right? It's used for within the earth. So he says it's not in heaven. I told you another place that is called heaven is called where? The mountains. Look at that. Mountain is called heaven. So when Moses goes up to the mountain, they say he has gone to heaven. I know I've shown you that before. Yes, on our teaching, supernatural help. I said when Moses goes to the mountain, it is believed that Moses has gone into heaven. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Those are supposed to join online. I don't know why Salome is not online.
Okay, so now heaven is used for the mountain. So he said, do not say in your heart, because it's second law. Now he's talking about what God will do, right? What God is doing is circumcise your heart, right? Now he now says, don't think.
Now remember, the law is God is repeating his law to us. Now do not think. Because how did Moses give them the law the first time?
He went up where? To the mountain. You see that? And then he came down with the law.
Now do not think, right? Who will go up man to bring us the law again? Do you see that? Remember, he said, Lord, circumcise your heart. Now he said, do not think, do not say, who will go beyond the sea? Beyond the sea means, should we, since they are talking about a new covenant, right? Are we going to go back again to go and cross Red Sea? Do you see that? So beyond the sea there is to go back to cross Red Sea. And crossing the Red Sea, remember, is baptism in Moses. Shows you, thy very giant comes in. So Paul reads that and said, do not think again. Do not say in your heart, who will go and bring Jesus from above? Do you see that? He's interpreting the heaven that Moses went to, Jesus from above. Beyond the sea, he sees baptism. In baptism, you died, right? Or don't say we'll go and raise him up again from the dead. Did you see what he has done? Right? Right?
He has said the word is nigh thee in your heart that you may do it.
The word of faith which will preach. Did you see that?
Faith which will preach. Faith.
Faith in what Christ has done. He has resurrected. Right?
He died and has resurrected. So he's not going to repeat that death and resurrection once I have done it all. All you need to do is to believe. Hope you understand that.
Do you get that? Do you get that? Can you get to verse 15?
It says, see, I said before thee this day, life and good and death and evil. Now, just like Adam. Did you that? Just like Adam who have the tree of good, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Now, it's actually the tree of knowledge, right? Right?
Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How have I explained that to you? I don't know.
Say, but there's good there, no. It looks good, but it's evil. Amen. Amen.
The tree of knowledge that seems good, but it's evil. So Paul,
he now writes it there. He's explaining Adam, and now he says it's life and good, and death and evil. Did you see that? I commanded this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess. But if thy heart turn away from the Lord, do you see that? And follow other gods, and worship other gods, I denounce you this day that thou shalt surely perish.
That's where Jesus got it from. When Jesus said, you don't think I will accuse you before the Father, there's one who accuses you. Moses said, whom you trust, he's writing from here.
If you reject it, that is the accusation of perish. For God so loved the world, he gave his word that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Perish is where? Moses' word. Do you see that? Amen. So believe. Believe too is what? Moses' word. How am I following that? It's Moses' word. So what Adam was set before Adam is also set before the children of Israel. Amen. So he's writing to them about what has been set before them. Life and good, death and evil. And then he said, this is what was set before Adam. Did you see that? The trees. So the trees are not literal trees, but to show you the option that every man will have to choose from. Amen. Amen. So be very vital. The option you have to choose for salvation, life and death. You have to choose. But it's something you choose, and then I'll deal with that the other letter. Amen. You have to choose from.
Who are you hearing me? You have to do what?
Choose. Hallelujah. So how does a man get in
to God's temple? Believe. Right? That's what the reading says. Right?
You believe.
Man is saved by believing.
Hallelujah. A man believes. He is saved. Now when you hear the word ministry, what does it mean?
When you hear the word ministry, you know, some people hear ministry in our day and age. You hear the word ministry, you think it's church. You start up a church.
I heard someone say, no. Our church is not ministry. Have you heard that?
It's a church now, it's not ministry. Don't confuse us. In our church, say, have you been called to ministry? Say, no, it's just my father has called me to ministry. Because you don't know what ministry is.
Hallelujah. Amen. You don't know what ministry is. Say, who have been called to ministry? Ah, it's only pastor. Pastor has the call, not us.
Okay, pastor, your pastor has the call to ministry? Yes. So your church is ministry? No. We'll pass the stage of ministry. So we're first of all a fellowship. When I became a ministry, now I've graduated to a church. Come on, let me knock your head.
Amen. So we think ministry is, I don't know. But what are you doing?
We are doing ministry.
Not a church yet. Have you heard that from people? Have you heard that from people? Maybe, you know, I meet a whole lot of people. I read that for someone recently, they said, no, we are not yet in church. A young guy in school that I got saved in secondary school when he was in secondary school. So I met him, said, how's the work of ministry? He said, well, we are still doing ministry. I said, okay, that's good. He said, but sir, it's not yet church. I was not confused. You know, it's still ministry, but we are not yet church. Confusion or rampage.
It's still ministry? But we are not yet church.
But no. Church is on Sunday. Ministry is on Saturday. Where did you get that from? Me that I'm saying it, I've done that kind of rubbish before. And I said this one, no, we are first of all fellowship. Worship as fellowship. Then we'll now move to what in Father's ministry. Then we'll now graduate it
to First Pavilion Church.
Amen. No. No. What is ministry? And who has been called into ministry? Now, we hear that word ministry is from the Greek word,
right?
Diakonia. Diakonia. From the Greek word diakonia. We hear the word ministry in scriptures. That Greek word diakonia.
which means to serve. The Greek word that means to serve. Used for stewardship. Used for stewardship, to serve, stewardship.
For a duty or a work of service. To serve, stewardship, for a duty or a work of mean or service.
So we say, what is God's ministry? You are asking, what is God's work? Hallelujah. What is God's work? What is God's ministry? Right? What is God's ministry? Is you say, what is God's work? What is God's service? What is God doing? Hallelujah. And that's what we've been looking at. What is God doing? He's building his family. That's God's work. That's God's ministry. You hear me? Hallelujah. What's God doing? He's building his ministry. He's building his family.
But what's God doing? What's God's service? What's God's ministry?
Well, God's ministry is what empowers ministry. Amen. Amen. That's God's ministry. So what's God's church? Saint Pavilion Church.
No, it's not this. It's not different. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't delete what God has given to you.
Say it's we're fellowship.
The church is a fellowship. The church is a ministry.
What about your enemy? What about your enemy? The church is a fellowship. The church is a ministry.
Fellowship of saints is God's work in the earth. What about your enemy?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing that. So, how will God achieve his ministry in the earth? How will he achieve it? Through men. Through men. God will use what is available to get men. And what is available is men. So God will use men to get men.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory, 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 glory. You know, something I thought of earlier on today was, you know, I was still thinking about some things. Okay, we'll get to that tomorrow. Let me just keep that. Let's keep that for today. Get to that tomorrow. Just some things about power.
Something that will get too carried away with too many grammar. You see God doing something in your work.
And then you say, no. What's the scriptural place? You're still trying to look for. Don't watch that. Me and my friend will say, no. Nobody get born again except somebody come to preach to the person. Because somebody has to preach. So, and then we hear stories on CBN. Say CBN. Yeah, have people in the Arab nation who have visions of Jesus and they are saying, oh, they know your true salvation. How can you say that?
We'll get to see that. There's some, you know, somebody will tell you, no, Jesus has stopped appearing to people. He has stopped since. Is it? He closed with the canon of scriptures. He said that near me, he sleep as I used to flog you. What do you know is canon of scriptures? Glory to God. We are open to more moves of God's Spirit in our world. We are open to it. Hallelujah! Glory to God. So we say God will achieve this through men.
God will use what is available to men to get to men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So in Genesis 1, he says to the man in verse 20 is subdue, replenish the earth. You see that? It says to man, that's function. Subdue, replenish the earth.
Man in his image to subdue, replenish the earth.
So God's task in the earth will be carried out by men. Men. Man in his image. Hallelujah. Adam
in Genesis chapter 2 was found in God's garden.
Adam was found wearing God's garden. The Bible says to do what? To dress and to keep it. Amen. To dress and to keep it. Abad and Shabbat. So found in Adam, Adam will carry out God's ministry. Because that word Abad and Shama is used for the priest in service. That means Adam in God's image, right? Or Adam in God's garden. Adam in God's garden was carrying out ministry. Did you see that? Was to carry out ministry. Abad and Shama. What you will find in the priests. Abad and Shama. Hallelujah. We also find Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Right? And Cain was a tiller of ground. That word tiller of ground is where you have the word abad. Abad. And then keeper of sheep. That means in Cain and Abel, we find God's task for men. Hallelujah. In Cain and Abel, we find God abad, and then to keep, right, to till the ground, abad, service, right, and then to a keeper of sheep. Hallelujah. Keeper of sheep is where you find the word to disciple, a pastor. Amen. Remember a little bit, a pastor. Keeper of sheep, he was a shepherd boy. Remember a little bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So we say, God will do it through men. Through men. Through men. So, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the final also. Now, what is? Did you see any special call on Adam? Was there any special call? Did you see any special call? Did you see any special call?
So there's no special call to get on the work of ministry.
Hallelujah. There's no special call to be found in God's task of ministry. Therefore, we can say, the call to salvation is the same call to ministry. Our yet ministry is doesn't mean to start a church.
I've always told you. Amen. Amen. To get on God's task.
Our yet ministry, start up your work. Doesn't mean to go and plant a church all the time. Amen. Start up your work can just mean to get on discipling men. Okay, hear me. So ministry doesn't necessarily mean you have to start a church, but it's the call to win. So it starts from the call to win souls
in the local church. That's ministry. That's ministry. The call to win souls. We souls. Amen. Amen.
In Acts 9, we find Paul's conversion. Let's see Paul. Acts 9.
Act 9. Let's see first conversion.
Now, Paul had an encounter with Jesus, right? Now here, something with Ananias, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And behold, he prayed, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints and to Jerusalem. He's questioning God. Say, Lord, have you not heard? This guy is dealing with God. But Saul was already saved. Hallelujah. Someone asked the question, was it Ananias that got Paul saved? No, it can't be. He wouldn't have been Ananias. Amen. Why? Look at verse 15. And the Lord said to him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Hallelujah. Do you see that? He's a chosen vessel unto me. To bear my name before the Gentiles. And kings and the children of Israel. But I will now show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did you see that? You see that? Was there a special call after this for Paul? Was there a special call? Mm-hmm. The same call to salvation that this was blessed in. Did you see that? The same call to salvation. So the call to salvation is where you have the call to ministry. Paul repeated in Acts chapter 23 verse 11. You can read that later. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So the call to be found in ministry here is not a special call outside the call to salvation. It's the same call. But when God now needed Paul on an assignment in Acts 13, he now confirmed the true people. Did you see that? Amen. So that means, I'm going to explain that. So first of all, the call to ministry. Right? Ministry where in your local church is embedded in the call to salvation. You see that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not that where you now get a call, you now wake up and say, no. There is the call of God of my life to go and start up my own church. That is in the call of ministry, no. That's not what we're talking about. Because when you go by precedence in scriptures, you discover that men have to send people out. This is that by witnesses. Paul had to now go up. For Paul to go was an act 13, and the Bible says they were witnesses. This is that separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work where we are unto have sent them. This is that? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. The apostles will now send people out. You see that? Amen.
Amen.
So that is different. Well, we're talking about the call to ministry, not the call for breakouts, like some people do. Open your enemy. Amen. So the call to ministry where in your local church. Make sure you understand what I'm dealing with tonight. Not dealing with the other one. Just follow me. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians 2. Verse 8. So by grace ye are saved. Through faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. This any man should boast. See where we are saved. For we are in workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Also good works. Did you see that? Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So that means, the call to salvation, you have works in that call to salvation.
is the same call. It's the call of salvation. It's the call to God's work in the earth. It's the call to God's tax in the earth.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. The call to salvation is a call to God's tax in the earth. So a mistake people make is thinking that salvation is a guarantee for good job.
How many the call to salvation when a man gets saved is an open door to luxury life?
Hallelujah. No. It's not a door to luxury life or wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Rather, the call to salvation is the call to serve the Lord. Don't miss it. I want to shock us now. The call to salvation is not the call to go to heaven.
Nobody hearing me? Some people get born again because they don't want to go to hell. They get born again because they were afraid of fire.
The call to salvation, the call to salvation is an escape from hell. Go ahead, you know. Hallelujah. It's an escape from hell. The call to salvation is
you are in heaven already. So listen. So the call to salvation is the call to God's service in the earth, God's rule in the earth, God's tax in the earth.
Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. It's a call to serve the Lord.
To serve the Lord and men. So the call to salvation is a call to serve the Lord and men. It's not a call to... Let me put it this way. See a man who is diligent in Israel.
Kings will stand before him. Uh-huh. It's not to control men.
Amen. Call to salvation is not a call to control people.
It's a call to serve men.
Hallelujah.
And in serving men, God entrusts people's lives to your hands.
We'll see all that tomorrow.
Amen. In serving men, God entrusts people's lives to your hands. Amen.
Hallelujah. God entrusts people's lives to your hands. So, Jesus in Matthew 20,
they came to ask him, who is, they had an argument about who will be the greatest. Those guys are rascals. Matthew 20. Now, watch it. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children and their sons worshipping him and desired certain things of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and another on thy left in thy kingdom. So the mother came to beg for position. Amen. Amen. Let them be Senate president and house of rest. Amen. Please. This is loving. I want my two children to be in the two house of parliament in your kingdom.
Position.
Amen. They sit on your right hand and on your left. Yeah, they will control things. That's what it means. So they have to bring their mother. Listen that.
So Jesus now said, you don't know why you are asking, no? Are you able to drink of the cup that I will drink of? And will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, we are able.
When time reached for them to drink of that baptism, they jackpot.
You know, the cup that I will drink, that will be baptized in the baptism that I am baptized into. He was talking about his death. Will they, can they die?
Amen. That is on my right and on my left. Amen. Who do we find that Jesus is right and left? The two thieves.
When I want die.
Amen. So we are able. Just don't think about. Okay.
Amen. I just said, okay, if I did drink of the baptism, okay, if I did drink of my cup, I'm a baptized with baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit, watch it, or is it on my right and on my left, it's not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. So you went to call your mother. Ah, is it only you that have mother? We too have mother. We can call our mother. Ah! Not to do Ojoro. So they started fighting them. And Jesus called them and said, you know the prince of the Gentiles, which is the kings there. The kings, the prince, the head of the Gentiles, exercise dominion over them. You see that? Exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. For it shall not be so amongst you. Whoever shall be great among you, let him first be your minister. Now before you think he's minister of power, that will not give people life, but he will have life. Right? No. That's the word there. Diakonio is servant. Let him first be your servant. Hallelujah. Amen. And whoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Jesus, by his death, gave us the example of service. To serve men and not to be domineering over men. And that's just it.
We'll get there tomorrow. We'll get there tomorrow. Hallelujah. 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 The kings of the world exercise dominion over them. And you find that in our world even to today. When somebody becomes, before a politician becomes president or vice president, I mean president or governor, you see them by the roadside eating corn, pretending they are buying tomatoes, eating corn, frying everywhere. Oh, don't worry, I help you fry the garri. But the moment they swear them in, they will never go back to that place. They will now begin to change fuel price. First of all, they increase fuel price, subsidy is gone.
Yeah.
They won! They have not even sat on the chair. That's God.
Power.
When you talk, you say, I'm the Jagabah. He can do us nothing. The king of the world. You see that? King of the world. But Jesus said, that's not so. That shouldn't be so amongst you. So he that wants to be the greatest should say. And he has given that example. Even that the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life. His life is ransom. Is that? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So that means the call to ministry is the call to serve men. It's the call to serve men. Serve men with the gospel. Serve men, train men. To groom men. The call is around men. The call is not first to be carrying laptops in church because you are in IT. You won't carry, we only give you responsibility in church because you are responsible for men. We're not responsible for men, you are irresponsible, we can't give you laptops to carry. If you are irresponsible, you can't be pastor's protocol if you don't have men. Hope you hear me. You can't be in pastor's protocol. If you are not serving men, you can't be in operations department. When you don't have men, you are serving. You are first of all serving, then we cannot give you other responsibility. Hallelujah. Because we know you are responsible for men. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because we know you are responsible for men. Jesus told the disciples, I will make thee fishers of men.
He may not make you, you are no longer going to be fishers of fishes. You catch men alive. You catch men alive. You grow men.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You say in Matthew 28, make disciples. You have a responsibility to train men. Hallelujah. So, the first is not to handle responsibility in church. The first is to see you responsible for life. Responsible for men. Bringing men to church. Seeing them grow. How many people have been grown in church? How many people have been discipled that they are now discipling men in church? We can't find. And therefore means you are not working effectively. If you can, you should be able to say, this is my disciple that is a leader. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. How many people have you trained to be like you? Winning men. Hallelujah. You see, you are responsible. Let's see it in your feet. Let's see it in your work. Some people, well, I'm going to deal with this tomorrow. Some people start up and the next thing, they begin to do other things. Some people start up discipleship. You started off 15. Today, they are comfortable with one. What happened to the 14? Jesus gave a parable concerning the kingdom of God. Can be likened unto a man who had 92 out of 100 sheep. And one went missing. See, he left the 99 and went for that one missing. The 99 are the rubbish. But he's telling you what is making you see emphasis on life. Every life matters to God. Every life matters to God. Everyone. You can't drop your disciples from 15 to 1 and you should be, and you are comfortable. How can you be comfortable? From 15 to 1 and you are not fasting. We are not calling and you say, sir, I'm on the mountain. Ah, pastor, I can't go home. My disciples are sleeping away. I can't. But what happened to me, they asked, what happened to them? Actually, you are giving an excuse. You should be crying. You should be crying that your cell is diminishing. You should be crying that your church members are reducing. You should be crying. You should be weeping and getting your hands on the work. Hallelujah. Because we are not responsible for them. We cannot entrust anything to your hands. You can't be called a worker in church. What are you working? You like be the best in that thing. We ask you to leave. Go and get me. That's how we know you're responsible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we have a responsibility to train men. Listen to this. You have a responsibility to train men. Remember, we say, well, God is building is what? His family, his temple, and where? How? Men, right? God is building men as his family, men as his temple. So therefore, if we say we have a responsibility to train men, it therefore means we have a responsibility to raise God's family. To build God's family with him. He's building, we are building. Hallelujah. See, my father walketh so I walk. Hallelujah. We'll see all that. Amen. So, we have a responsibility to raise God's family. To build God's family. To raise God's people. Watch yourself. How many of God's people are you with? Or just get born again and live there? You leave them. You let them go. I spoke about that to Ross during workers' meeting. You got born again. You got people saved. And then, you now moved out of that location. And as you move out of that location, all the disciples, you no longer get in contact with them. See, you are irresponsible. We'll see that tomorrow. You are irresponsible. Because when you understand that this is God building his family, I said to you, how many of you will give birth to a child and carry the child and throw the child into a river?
Because those guys are born again already.
But you know what? Just like a little baby that does not know left or right, that they threw away. That's what you have done. That's what you have done. You've thrown them away. And that is being irresponsible. As I'm talking to you today, I want you to count the amount of your disciples that you've not been reaching. And you say, let that one go. You did nothing about it.
You did nothing about it. You think, I will get another one. Easy.
Easily, I'll get another one. I'll get another one. You did not pray. That is an attitude of an irresponsible man. Irresponsible mind. While you get another one, make sure that one, you work on that one. Hallelujah. Okay, you hear me?
So you have, so you say, I have a responsibility to raise God's family.
You say it to yourself, I smart. I have a responsibility to raise God's family. I smart. I have a responsibility to raise God's people. I smart. I have a responsibility to raise God's temple in the earth. Hallelujah. In the earth. I have a responsibility to do that.
Hallelujah.
God is doing it through me. I give God the room to. I give God the allowance to. He walks, therefore I walk. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I'm responsible.
You say to yourself, I'm responsible for life.
You are God's bread. You are God's child. Hallelujah. So you have to raise men. To serve men. Raise them. Raise them. Raise men, and the raising men take root. You are not like, you know, there's, look at me very well. When you have people who are accountable to you by reason of discipleship, right, we're going to get here tomorrow. Be careful that you don't become like the rulers of this world.
The rulers of this, so once they have people accountable to them, they feel they are now, you know what I mean? Time to oppress people. You're not like the people. So that means, how we lead God's children mustn't be copied from the leaders of the world. Because they're having disciples, they're not listening to 14 leadership qualities.
You think this is business school? See, how to lead men to drive, you are reading it. 48 laws of power. Is it 48 laws of power for God's children? You have Holy Ghost power, you do not use it. You go for 48 laws of power. Amen. You have the word, you are looking up for the 8 laws of power. Give them word, stay with it. Give them instructions. Be, you know, say, I'm sanguine. So as a sanguine, how will you now be dealing with people straight? But you have people who are melancholic, right? If I'm not mistaken, around you. This is how you handle them. We have people who are, what's the other one? You see, penguin. Okay, this one is phlegmatic. The phlegmatic people. How to handle the phlegma or the? Shut up. Amen. Rubbish. My own style of leadership. See, you need those things there, and that's the problem. Some of us get into careers where we are leaders. But I lead people in the office. And I can tell you of the truth. The way I lead them in the office, not the same way I come and I lead God's children. I hate people in the office. Amen. And I am the kind of leadership that I have, I run the office. very democratic.
Another authority, all authorities are very democratic.
Very democratic. Amen. But not politics. I'm not a politician, but very democratic. But I can't bring that the way I operate in the office to church. I cannot. Amen. I must understand those things.
I give you the word.
Right? But the people in my office, what I give to them, I give them leadership tutorial every day. I send them videos. Listen to it and tell me how you can apply to your job to be better. I send them, if you are in my team, right, you virtually be hearing 48 or 10 principles of being a good sales marketer. 5 principles of hitting the market running.
I'll teach you them
how to handle objections in the marketplace.
I can't go and say that in church.
How to close a deal. 14 approaches to close a good deal. I can tell you that very well. But I can't come and be saying it in church. That is office. You hear me? Office. Yes, church. Church will trust God's power. Amen. Amen. Yeah. It's church. Hallelujah. Because I have a responsibility to raise God's temple. I'm not like the rulers of the world. Amen. I am so responsible for life. So what does that make me? Once you have 2 souls you are following up, you add the responsibility of a pastor. Over here, may not be called a pastor in church, it's just that it doesn't know nomenclature. But you're a pastor by responsibility. Those 2 souls, those 4 souls, you are responsible for them. What are you hearing me? What are you hearing me? You are a pastor by responsibility. Hallelujah. So you are not like the kings of the world. You're not like the kings of the world. At all, you are not. No. The same instruction Moses gave to the kings of Israel. He said to them, they are not like the rulers of the world.
Not like the rulers of the world. You are called to serve them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we'll pick up all this. Since I'm raising God's family, right? 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 Since I'm raising God's family, God's temple, God's people, therefore, I must raise them on God's own terms. I must lay them on God's own plans.
I must see that my handling man
is God's tax. And who is, remember I told you, when I thought of workers together with the Lord, I said it is God walking through us. Right? Right? Did I say that? Who is building his temple? Is it we or God? God is through us. Right? God is building his men through us. So it's God walking through us. Now if it is God that is walking through us, that means God has chosen to carry out his task through you. It is a privilege. It's not a right. It's not an entitlement. I don't see myself as a pastor as an entitlement. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Not my entitlement. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't wear shoulder pad because your disciples in 9:30. They're not wearing shoulder pad. It's 9:15. You think you can start rubbing shoulders with people? No. Over here with me. No. Over here with me. God walking through you. is God raising men through you? And if it's God raising men through me, it's a privilege. Don't be too, don't attach too much importance to yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't attach too much importance on your intellect. What I'm trying to say. See it as a privilege to lead God's children. It's a privilege to lead God's children. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say something that some people might not like, but it's the truth. When you want to feel the shoulder pad, remember this. You are nothing but clay. Everyone like this, but that's the truth. I'm telling you the hard truth, but you're nothing but clay. In Isaiah, you can read that, or we'll get to see it some other time. Isaiah 45:9, 64:8, we are clay, and God is called a potter. We are nothing but vessels he uses. Clay. Clay. So don't attach too much importance to yourself in the work of ministry. Hope you're hearing me. It's not about you, it's about God. It's not about you, it's about men. It's not about you, it's about him. So if you know it's about him, you will discover that you won't take, I call it, unnecessary decisions. Unwanted decisions. You take decisions by his leading. Because it's about him, and your whole life is evolved around him. We're going to see this. Therefore, the decisions even about my life, because I know I'm living for him. We'll not be faking anyhow. We'll be faking by his own terms, on his own terms. So don't attach too much, don't attach ego to it. Amen. Also, do not attach material importance to the work given to us. See it as a privilege to serve God in our local churches. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to serve God. See that the privilege to serve God in our local churches. So let's serve him. Serve him with thanksgiving. It's a privilege, right? So I will be thankful all the time. As a leader, as a worker, I'll be thankful all the time. But I can serve in the house of the Lord. I can serve. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful. What a privilege, dear Lord, to lead your men. Hallelujah. Be a thankful leader. Hope you hear me. Amen. Be thankful. Be thankful.
Glory to God.
So like I said, some key highlights. We're in God's tax. Building. We are in God's tax. We are building with the Lord. We are working with the Lord to build his family in the earth. It is on his terms. On his terms. On his terms. And it deals with men. So because it's on his terms and it deals with men, I should see as a privilege and a thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Hallelujah. Let's just thank you. Let's be on our feet. Let's thank you.